ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। त्रिभुवनान्तात्म भवना त्रिविक्राम त्रिनयना त्रिलोका। O Lord, O personified three worlds, Father of the three worlds, O strength of the three worlds, in the form of the Vamana incarnation, O three-eyed form of Narasimhadev, O most beautiful person within the three worlds, everything and everyone, including human beings and even the Daitya demons and the Danavas, is but an expansion of your energy. O supremely powerful one, you have always appeared in your forms as the various incarnations to punish the demons as soon as they become very powerful. You appear as Lord Vamanadev, Lord Rama, and Lord Krishna. You appear sometimes as an animal like Lord Boar, sometimes a mixed incarnation, like Lord Narasimhadev and Lord Hayagriva, and sometimes an aquatic, like Lord Fish and Lord Tortoise. Assuming such various forms, you have always punished the demons and Danavas. We therefore pray that your lordship appear today as another incarnation, if you so desire, to kill the great demon, Vritrasura. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. There are two kinds of devotees, known as Sakama and Akama. Pure devotees are akama, whereas devotees in the upper planetary systems, such as the demigods, are called sakama, because they still want to enjoy material opulence. Because of their pious activities, the sakama devotees are promoted to the higher planetary systems, but at heart, they still desire to lord it over the material resources. The Sakama devotees are sometimes disturbed by the demons and Rakshasas, but the Lord is so kind that He always saves them by appearing as incarnation. The Lord's incarnations are so powerful that Lord Vamanadev covered the entire universe with two steps, and therefore had no place for his third step. The Lord is called Trivikram because he showed his strength by delivering the entire universe with merely three steps. The difference between Sakama and Akama devotees is then when Sakama devotees like the demigods, fall into difficulty, they approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead for relief. Whereas Akama devotees, even in the greatest danger, never disturb the Lord for material benefits. Even if an Akama devotee is suffering, he thinks that it is due to his past impious activities and agrees to suffer the consequences. He never disturbs the Lord. Sakama devotees immediately pray to the Lord as soon as they are in difficulty, but they are regarded as pious because they consider themselves fully dependent on the mercy of the Lord. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, Tate nukam pam susamikshamano punjana evatmakritam vibhagam hridvag vapurbir vidatam namaste jivetya mukti pade sadaya bhak. Even while suffering in the midst of difficulties, devotees simply offer their prayers and service more enthusiastically. In this way, they become firmly fixed in devotional service and eligible to return home back to Godhead without a doubt. Sakama devotees, of course, achieve from the Lord the results they desire from their prayers, but they do not immediately become fit to return to Godhead. It is to be noted herein that Lord Vishnu, in his various incarnations, is always the protector of his devotees. Srila Madhvacharya says, Vividam bhava pratratvat sarve vishnur vibhutayaha. Krishna is the original personality of Godhead. Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. All other incarnations proceed from Lord Vishnu. Om Akyantimidandasya Jnananjana chalakaya chakshurun bilitam jena tasmai sri gurave namaha sri chaitanya manobhishtam stapitam yena bhutale swayam rupa kadamayam dadati svapadantikam Bandeham Sri Guru, Sri Juta Patakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha, Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Bitam Tham Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Bitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bhandu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Khanta Radha Khanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Brishabhanu Sudhe Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanshakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Bhavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda
Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasati Gaura Bhakta Brinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. We are reading today from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 9, entitled The Appearance of the Demon Vritrasura, text number 40. This prayer being offered by the devas, the demigods, is in response to a danger, an obstacle, a threat that is way beyond their capacity to resolve. The demigods made some pretty serious mistakes in this story. Mistakes that, in a very large scale, are the things that common devotees and people in general, we make all the time. How we respond to circumstances. The choices we make is what determines our destiny. As we were explaining yesterday, Indra was proud, and in his pride, it just didn't come to his mind that he should offer respect to an exalted person. And the reaction was, he was defeated and lost everything. So then he was told to go to Vishwarup, who was a very powerful Brahmin, and get Narayan Kavacha, a protective power by which he could overcome his adversaries. And he did. Vishwarup was performing yajna, a particular spiritual sacrifice, and he was chanting the devas' names. He gave them Narayan Kavacha, and Indra became powerful, and he achieved what he wanted. Vishwarup, on his father's side, he was related to the devas. On his mother's side, he was related to the Asuras. So he was partial to everyone. In one sense, to be impartial means to be partial to everyone. So along with offering benedictions to the devas, he secretly offered benedictions to the Asuras. Indra found out about that. And he became so wild with anger. Here is somebody that helped him, protected him, gave him everything. But due to that anger, he cut off the head of Vishwarup. That was a serious mistake. Now it's a graphic example of how we can get ourselves in a lot of trouble if we respond to anger, to envy, to lust, to greed, without proper intelligence. The purpose of our sadhana, the purpose of our spiritual practice, and a purpose of our association with elevated beings is that when these storms come, we have a strong foundation where we maintain our integrity and we make wise choices. But our tendency is we just react. We let the mind and senses react in their way. The purpose of the intelligence is to direct the mind and senses. In the Bhagavad Gita, Bhanubhata Prabhu and all the other book distributors, they often show people that illustration of the chariot with the horses. The body's like a chariot, the senses are like the five horses, the mind is like the reins, and the intelligence is the charioteer, and the soul is the passenger in the chariot. Now, in order for the soul to reach its destination in this valuable chariot of the human form of life, we have to have a good charioteer. If the intelligence isn't strong, then the wild five horses of the senses is going to drag the mind, like the reins, to all sorts of dangerous situations. Nastapraisha bhadreshu nityam bhagavati sevaya. By reading Srimad Bhagavatam, by these holy scriptures, by associating with saintly people, we develop strong intelligence. We can discriminate properly. We're not just caught up in the storms of the moment where we could make very unwise choices. If you build your house on a solid rock foundation, and storms do not affect it. But if you build it on shifting sands, it's going to crumble. So this vivek, this discrimination, is very, very important. And when devotees take vows to follow four regulative principles, it's to establish that this is serious. I have to make the right choices. Because the tests will come. And here we find Indra. He's a devotee. But it seems he didn't have very strong sadhana at this time. Because he appeals to somebody for help, and the person helps him, saves him. But then as soon as that person acted in such a way that created fear in Indra's heart, he lost his intelligence and acted in response to the fear instead of in response to what his purpose in life is. Abhaya Charanara Vindare. One who takes shelter of the Lord becomes fearless. And when fear or lust or greed or envy or anger or any of these things come, and they come, we're strong enough to make a wise choice that's going to be beneficial for us and for others. Srila Prabhupada writes, the greatness of a person has to be estimated by how that person is able to tolerate provoking situations. Anybody could be good when everything's good. But a greatness of a person is when there is really provoking situation, temptation, fear. When we live according to Dharma, according to higher principles, that is integrity. That is greatness. So Indra's a great devotee. He's so great that the Supreme Lord Krishna uses him as the example again and again of what we should not do. Now that's a pretty thankless task. Because some people don't understand Indra and they criticize. Just see, he's got all these eyes because of this and he's got... But actually he's... For whatever reason, to be continuously in the Srimad Bhagavatam, you have to be a special soul. He's not ordinary. But he's being used as an example to us. As we said,
in a very exaggerated, not exaggerated that it didn't happen, but in a very grand scale, he's exhibiting the same qualities that we crucially have to overcome on a moment-to-moment, day-to-day basis. He responded to fear with anger. And that was serious. He spent 1 year trying to repent for what he did. But things have chain reactions. Tvashta happened to be the father of Vishwarup. And he did not like what Indra did to his son. So he performed a yajna. In this yajna, he wanted to create someone who would kill Indra. This is like an eye for an eye, from biblical terms. So he performed a yajna. But these types of yajnas, fire sacrifices and other things, they, in order for them to have the proper effect, they have to be done with precision. At the end of this elaborate yajna, he offered the oblation, the offering, and the culmination was what he wants. And he asked for an enemy of Indra. But he said the Sanskrit, where one vowel he said long instead of short. Now, for you and me, we don't even know the difference. But the higher powers know the difference. So instead of saying with a short vowel, he said with a long vowel, and it changed the meaning from the enemy of Indra to Indra, who is the enemy. Now, you may not understand the difference of that, but there is a serious difference. One means one who's going to kill Indra, and the other means one who's going to be killed by Indra. And out from the fire in the southern direction came Vritrasura. He was just, you know, little babies grow like, I don't know how fast they grow because I'm a Swami, but they, every now and then I see that they grow. But he just immediately started growing right out of the fire, and soon he covered vast sections of the universe. That's what Vritra means, one who covers vast expanses of the air, the sky, the land, the oceans. He was huge. And all the asuras, they realized, this is our man. They all stood behind him. They didn't have to, you know, have a primary vote to decide who was going to be running, who was going to be leading their party. As soon as they saw him, they understood, this is our leader. And Vritrasura roared. He didn't need a microphone either. And the devas attacked him, all the devas, headed by Indra. And they started throwing their most powerful weapons. Vritrasura opened his mouth and ate them all. Now, what do you do to someone like that? You run away. That's what you do. There's nothing else you can do. Otherwise, he's going to eat you. So in this situation, or even though they were controllers of the different functions of the universe, controlling the rain, controlling the wind, controlling the fire, controlling the sun and the moon, they're great, powerful beings. But in this world, whoever we are, we're going to be humbled by material nature. Padam padam yadvi padam natesham. There's danger at every step. There's always a power
greater than our own. Here in California, you could be a billionaire or a trillionaire, but you can't stop an earthquake from coming. And it could come. You can't appeal to some higher connection in the government or an industry. There's just always powers above our own, even the devas, in which situation they understand they have no alternative but to turn to the Supreme Lord, to God, to Krishna. And here they're offering beautiful prayers. And in today's prayer, they're begging Vishnu to incarnate to save them. That's a pretty bold request. We want you to descend from the spiritual world and manifest an incarnation to save us. And Srila Prabhupada is writing in the purport, there are two different kinds of devotees, essentially. Sakama and Akama. The Sakama devotee knows the ultimate goal of life is to develop love for God, to attain liberation from material sufferings. And therefore they perform sadhana, they perform devotion, but they very much still have material desires, and they're very much entangled in those desires. And although they want to serve the Lord, they really still want the Lord to serve them as their order supplier. If something goes wrong, my Lord, help me, I need this. I need a good husband or a wife. I need money. I need a good job. I have to overcome my enemies. It's natural. And they could be great devotees, Sakama, but they still turn to the Lord because they want material assets from the Lord, material benedictions. An Akama devotee is on a very high platform. Such a devotee, simply the only question he asks for the Lord is, how can I serve you? How can I please you? In whatever situation, I am yours. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his prayer, he explained, what is akama bhakti? Na dhanam na janam na sundarim kabatam va jagadisha kamaye mama janamani janmanishwari bhavatad bhakti rohaita ki twai. My Lord, I do not come to you for money or for the pleasure of the opposite sex or for fame, prestige, followers. I don't even want liberation from all the sufferings of this world. I come to you only to beg for service. If you want me to take birth again and again and again, I don't mind. Just let me serve you. Now, what we're going to learn later in the story, and if you want to get the full details, please come every day to Srimad Bhagavatam class for the next month and you'll get it all. But Vritrasura was an Akama devotee. He's appearing like a demon, and he's really ugly, and he's really ferocious. And the demigods are beautiful and pious. The demigods here, in this instance, are Sakama devotees, materialistic, and Vritrasura is Akama. We heard yesterday how in his previous life he was Chitraketu Maharaj, and when he was cursed to have a hellish low birth as an asura, a demon, he bowed his head in gratitude. If that's where you, if that's the way you want me to serve you, my Lord, I'm happy to serve you there. Narayana parasarve nakutashtana bibhyate swarga pavarga narakeshu apitulya tadarshana Vaishnavanam yata shambhu. The greatest Vaishnav is Lord Shiva. It takes one to know one. Although everyone else around was thinking, this Chitraketu, what is he saying? But Shiva understood. Such an exalted person, such an Akama devotee, that because he has fully taken shelter of the Lord without any selfish motive, ahoitiki apratihata, without any motivation for selfish desires and without interruption of any circumstance. This devotee, whether he's in heaven or hell, whether he's in the most suffering condition or the most prosperous, pleasant condition, it really doesn't matter, because in anywhere and everywhere, that devotee is going to be serving. And that devotee's happiness is in pleasing God in whatever situation. Little Prahlad, he was such an example, only 5 years old. His father, Hiranyakashipu, hated him. Even though Prahlad offered him all respect and love and was his best well-wisher, Hiranyakashipu couldn't understand, because his ego wouldn't allow it. Anyone who wasn't willing to be under the control of his father hated and considered an enemy and a threat. He threw Prahlad into blazing fire. He threw him off cliffs. He held him under mountains in the bottom of an ocean. He tried to put him in a pit of snakes, pierce him with tridents, poison him with food. Not once did Prahlad ever say, "Save me, my Lord." Prahlad just remembered the Lord with love. How may I serve you in this situation? And therefore, he was never disturbed by any situation, because our love for God is never disturbed, if that's our motive. Whatever the material circumstances. Lord Vishnu, in response to the demigod's prayers, is going to, in his own little way, chastise them. That you are coming to be for all this material stuff. First, you make mistakes, you put yourself in all kinds of predicaments, and then you come to me to resolve it. That's good. I accept. You're my devotees. But the real solution is to take shelter for the pleasure of the Lord, not for the pleasure of us. So he tells them, you should go to Dadichi. Dadichi is a very great personality, who is willing to give everything for the welfare of others. And his body is so powerful. He's the one that gave the Narayan Kavacha to Twashta, who gave it to Vishwarup, who gave it to you to conquer the Asuras. Ask him to give you his body. And you can take the bones of his body, give it to Vishwakarma, and he will make a thunderbolt, which will be indestructible, and it's the only thing in the creation that could possibly get Vritrasura. Okay, so the devas went to Dadichi. He's just a simple Brahmin performing his tapasya, meditating. He has no material possessions, nothing. And here the most wealthy people of the universe are coming to him in desperation. And they say, we know that you are a very great soul. And according to religious principles, great souls always live for others. And this is a fact. Srila Prabhupada emphasizes this. There are so many different religious explanations throughout the world and history. But in a purport in this particular chapter, Srila Prabhupada explains the universal essential religious principle that applies to everyone, which is the real testimony of a person's substance, is that another person's suffering is my suffering, and another person's happiness is my happiness. To the degree we have that consciousness, we're actually connected. Paradukaduki. And we see in the examples of all the great religious systems that this is really what the saints, this is the principle that is most emphasized in the lives of the saints. Srila Haridas Thakur, he was willing to be beaten through 22 marketplaces. And yet he was forgiving those who were beating him. He told the king when he was sentenced to, either you stop propagating this kirtan or you will die. You will be tortured and killed. And Thakur Haridas said, my body's going to die anyway. I don't need you to end my body. It's going to die anyway. Everyone's body's going to die. But as long as I have this body, its only purpose is to alleviate the suffering of others and give them love of God through this chanting of God's names. You could cut my body into a million pieces, and every one of those pieces is going to be broadcasting the glories of the chanting of the holy names. So they said, all right, we will kill you. The king said, torture and beat this animal to death. Called him an animal. Greatest of saints. And he was tortured and he was beaten, but he didn't die. And the whole time, finally, after 22 marketplaces, beating him throughout the entire day from sunrise to sunset, the executioners were totally exhausted. They couldn't beat him anymore. And they looked at Haridas and said, we don't know what to do with you. We can't lift our arms anymore. No one has ever survived past 2 marketplaces, and you've survived past 22 marketplaces. And we're beating you, and we're kicking you, and we're whipping you, and we're stabbing you, and we're blaspheming you in front of the whole public. And you're looking at us as if you feel sorry for us. You're looking at us with such pity in your eyes of compassion and love. What is this? Because we couldn't kill you, we're going to be killed. Haridas said, oh, really? Then just see what I do. And he sat like this and went, Hare Krishna. And then all of his functions of his life ceased. There was no heartbeat, there was no pulse, there was no breath. He was clinically dead. So they brought him to the king and to the Qazi. They threw him down like a piece of garbage. He said, he's dead. We have accomplished our mission. The king said, bury him. Qazi said, no, that's a noble death. Shouldn't be buried. Burn him. Some Brahmins came and said, no, he's from a low caste. He can't be burnt. He'll contaminate the fire. To contaminate the earth. So what should we do with him? Just throw him in the river like a piece of garbage. So they threw him in the river like a piece of garbage. He was underwater, over, you know, floating in the Ganga, and then he just came back to life. He was in samadhi. He wasn't really dead. He was just in samadhi where all of his bodily functions ended. And then he climbed up the bank. Now, if it was you and me, we would probably kind of go another direction into the forest. But Haridas went right back to the king's palace just to tell him, here I am. And the king fell at his feet and surrendered. And the executioners came and fell at his feet and surrendered. And he just forgave them and told them, chant the names of God. Whatever name of God you have, just chant the names of God. This was Thakur Haridas. And he's considered to be non-different than Prahlad Maharaj, because that same spirit of Prahlad, even though Prahlad's father tried to torture him, kill him, and vehemently hated him. When Hiranyakashipu was finally eliminated by Narasimhadev, Narasimhadev asked Prahlad, ask for any benediction, I'll give you anything. Prahlad asked for just a couple little things. He said, give my father liberation. He has done so many atrocities to so many people, including myself, give him liberation. And as long as there's anyone who's trying to enjoy materialism without tasting the sweetness of your loving service, my Lord, let me stay in the material world birth after birth after birth to remind them of the real purpose of life. Because I cannot tolerate to see the sufferings of others. Let others go to the mountains for their solitary retreat. Let others get liberated and go to the spiritual world and enjoy forever. But I can't tolerate seeing people suffering and forgetfulness of you. Let me be with them to help them. This is Prahlad. This is Haridas Thakur. And Vasudev Datta, he prayed to Lord Chaitanya. For a long time I have had a desire. And because you are the Supreme Godhead, you can fulfill anyone's desire. So please fulfill my desire. Let the karma of every living entity in this entire universe come on my head. Let me perpetually suffer the reactions to their sins so that they could all go back to your abode in the liberated state and enjoy eternal life. When Vasudev Dutt said this from his heart, Lord Chaitanya, who knows his intention, who's living in the heart of every being, Lord Chaitanya began to cry. His limbs trembled. His voice became choked up. Now it takes a lot to have the Supreme Personality of Godhead respond like that. He's the source of Mahavishnu. He's the source of Narasimha. He's the source of the Almighty Lord of all creations. And yet he's crying. And his voice is choked up because he's so moved by the compassion of his devotee. He said, this is not a surprise that you're saying this, because you are Prahlad Maharaj. And certainly the Lord has to fulfill your desires. So the demigods went to Dadichi and asked him, we want you to die so that we can have your body to serve our purpose. And what was their purpose? So that they could enjoy nicely in their heavenly planets and do some service in the same time. And Dadichi wanted to test them. In his own way, he according to the Bhagavatam, Shukadeva Goswami says he said a joke, but his joke was pretty serious. He said, "You are asking me to die for you? So that you could get your palaces and everything back?" He said, "Everybody knows how difficult it is to die. It's very painful to die. And you lose everything that you're connected with in this world. And not only that, but it's just common human nature. It's the nature of everyone. We're willing to risk our property, our friends, everything to save our lives. You're asking a lot from us, from me." And the demigods preached to him and said, "You are a saint. You are a great saint. And it is known that great saints are willing to give up their bodies for the welfare of others. And we need you." And Dadichi smiled. He said, "I will do it." He's willing to give up his life for the welfare of others. He said, "The body has to die anyway. If we could use this body for a higher purpose, that's the greatest merit to the eternal soul. Nahanyate hanyamane sarire. The soul is never born and never dies. It's not slain when the body's slain. The Gita tells the soul, it's beyond birth and beyond death. It cannot be cut into pieces by weapons. It cannot be burnt by fire. It cannot be moistened by water. It's a part of God." So Dadichi understood his own eternal nature. So he chanted the name of the Lord. He meditated into the core of his heart on the loving service of the Lord. And in that state, his soul left his body. For a higher purpose. This is the difference between human life, real human life, and a lower state of consciousness. Is that in every situation we try to evaluate what is the higher purpose, and we serve the higher purpose rather than the immediate apparent need. We do have to respond to the apparent needs, but it should always be in harmony with our higher purpose. Atapumbird vijastreshtas varna shrama vibhaga shashvanushtatasya dharmasya samsadir haritoshana. The Srimad Bhagavatam tells us, what is that higher purpose in every situation? Whatever our particular position may be, whether we're married people with families, wives, husbands, children, in-laws, and all of that. And you have an occupation, working as an entertainer or as an engineer or as a farmer or as a teacher or as a pujari or temple president or a photographer, even if you're a swami. Whatever your occupation, whether you're a grihastha, renunciate, whether you're a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, or anything else, the only true criteria of success is samsadhir haritoshanam, is that Krishna is pleased by our words, by our actions, and by our motivations. And if we can harmonize everything we do in life with that simple principle, that is bhakti. That we perform our duties in such a way that Krishna is pleased. Krishna is pleased with our spirit of devotion. And Srila Prabhupada in this purport quotes one of the verses that he quotes the most. Tathena kampam susamikshamano bunjana evatma kritam vibhagam hridvagva purvir vidadam namaste jiveta samukti sade sadhayabhak. That even when one is in a very, very painful condition, a devotee doesn't say, God, why is this happening to me? Change it. Rather, a devotee prays, my Lord, it's happening because of whatever I've done in the past. It's just a small thing, small token. With a grateful heart and folded hands, the devotee prays, how can I serve you in this situation? I'm yours. One who can do that, the ultimate liberation is that person's rightful claim. When Srila Prabhupada was at the Boston Harbor on the Jaladutta, he had just had heart attacks. He was 70 years old. Not long ago, just a few days ago, I was in Detroit. And interestingly, I happened to meet an elderly man at one house that I was visiting, Indian gentleman, and he was a captain for the cargo ships of the Scindia cargo shipping company. The Jaladutta, Prabhupada, he came aboard on one of those boats. And he knew Captain Pandey very well. This man started his career there as a boat captain in the early 60s and went until like the 80s. And I asked him about the Jaladutta. And he said, soon after Srila Prabhupada took that voyage to America and back, they retired the Jaladutta. Retired means they just broke it apart for scrap. That means it was so old when Prabhupada was on it, it was at its last few voyages. So Prabhupada was on this old cargo ship. He had seasick, at 40 rupees. He didn't know if anybody was going to be there. And what's his prayer? Most of us would be praying, Krishna, have somebody there to greet me. Because I'm in this foreign country. I've never been out of India before, and I'm 70 years old, and I don't know anybody. If this person's not waiting for me, I'm alone. Or please, you know, let me find somebody I can exchange my 40 rupees for. Otherwise, I'm penniless. Or give me health. Give me something. We read his prayers. And these were not prayers that were meant to be circulated throughout the world. These were prayers just personally, confidentially between Krishna and him. He was just praying, give me the power to speak in such a way that your message will transform their hearts. These poor people, whether they're materially enjoying or materially suffering, they're all under the modes of passion and ignorance. They've forgotten the true treasure of their heart, your loving service. Give me the words so that they can understand your message, my Lord. Let me be your puppet to dance as you want me to dance. To be an instrument of compassion, to give them real happiness. Paradukaduki. The Lord teaches us the greatest message through those who love him. So yes, Dadichi, he was in ecstasy. Just remembering Krishna giving up his body, so that his body could be used to be used as a service of others. Rupa Goswami explains the mood on the highest level of Sri Radharani in separation from Krishna. She prays in separation from Krishna. She tells her friend Lalita, let this body pass, but let everything be used in the service of Krishna. If in separation from my Lord I leave this world, then let the earth element of my body mix with the dust of Vrindavan to give a soft, soothing experience to Krishna's lotus feet when he walks on me. And let the water element of my body mix with the kunds, the sarovars, the little lakes of Vrindavan, so when Krishna bathes, I will be giving him nice cooling sensation. And let the fire element of my body create light so that when Krishna looks in the mirror, he sees his beauty and enjoys it. And let the air element of my body, let it be the cooling breeze that soothes Krishna. And let the space element of my body merge into the space of Vrindavan so Krishna could perform within me all of his beautiful, loving pastimes and enjoy. Of course, this is on a very, very esoteric high level, but the principle is that body, mind, words, life, everything is for Krishna. Manaso deho geho jo kichu mor arpilun tuaupade nanda kishore. Thakur Bhaktivinoda prayed in this way. He had 10 children. He had a few houses. He was a magistrate for the British government. But he was so renounced because of his spirit that even the greatest Paramhamsa, Babaji, Swamis would come to hear from him and get his blessings. Even Gaur Kishore Das Babaji came to live near the house of Bhakti Vinod so he could be with him. And this is the spirit. He prays, my body, my home, my family, my wealth, all of my intelligence, my very life, everything is yours, my Lord. For your pleasure, I am your servant. Gopi Bhartur Padakamalayora Dasa Dasa Dasanu Das. To be the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant. I remember one time I wrote to my parents when I first became a devotee in this path of bhakti, and I ended my letter by saying, your servant. I signed my name, and they wrote a letter back and said, why are you demeaning yourself to call yourself a servant? You're an intelligent young man. You've had some education. Why do you want to demean yourself in this way? Your servant. And I wrote back to them, and I signed it, the servant of your servants. And they didn't ever bring up the subject again, because they were obviously afraid if I did, I would be the servant of the servant of the servant of the servants of their servant. But to serve the Lord means to serve the Lord within the heart of every living being also. That is true dharma. And that is the beautiful message of this particular story of Srimad Bhagavatam. Because in the very end, I'm going to kind of reveal, what do you call it, a preview of what's coming in the next pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. Vritrasura, he was an Akama Vaishnav. He showed at the very end, he revealed his heart. The Lord revealed his heart. And Shukadeva Goswami is glorifying this demon like anything. That he took this form just to please the Lord. He took this form just to serve everyone in the world. He had no attachments but to serve and to love. That is our eternal nature. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadhya Kabunoi Saravanadi Sudhichiti Kodiye Udoi. This unmotivated, uninterrupted, loving service to the Lord, this love for Krishna, Prema, is within the heart of every living being. And it can be awakened simply by associating with people who have that love and by really sincerely taking shelter of the names of the Lord. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Shri Shri Rukmini Dwarkadish ki jai, Ananti Koti Vaishnav Brinda ki jai.